following program is brought to you in living color.
A clever man would put the poison into his own goblet because he would know that only a great fool would reach for what he was given. I'm not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you must have known I was not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Wait till I get going. Let's drink. Me from my glass, and you from yours.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Why is it people who can't take advice always insist on giving it?
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay guzzling diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine but were afraid to ask. That's what we're here for. We are your media resource for everything about the adorable, squishy, round, a little damp grape. See, we're off and rolling today and excited about what we are talking about.
By the way,
about.
That's damp with a P.
It is damp with a P. Yes. Not with an N. I wasn't being awful. I didn't say one of the dirty seven. I admitted I was in a mood before I came on the radio. But right now, no, I'm all good. I'm placid. I'm happy. And today, we are finally going to get back in the swing of things. It's been great the last couple of weeks talking to some new winemakers and new wine brand creators in the business. But today, we have Michael Honig joining us. And of course, anyone who knows anything about wine is familiar with the Honig label and Michael himself. And we'll ask him what's going on in his neck of the woods. We'll see if we can get a story out of him about how he got in the wine business. And of course, because it's that time of year, we are keeping an eye on the radar and seeing what's going on out there during harvest time. Because yes, all of those cute little grapes are rapidly getting thrown into barrels and to bins as fast as humanly possible, because I think there's thunderstorms out in our West Coast. But we will get our live man on the street update in the upcoming segments. But as Kent was giving me a hard time, I have to admit, I'm a little rattled today. Now, I am not truly a pessimist. I'll admit that. My friends and everyone around me do think that I'm a glass kind of half empty person. But in my heart of hearts, I am a closet optimist. And I do generally expect the best out of people. And as much as I give advice about wine, and anyone who listens on a regular basis, you know that I'm not a wine collector. My wine cellar is the equivalent of a dairy crate because I know how much gets drunk in my house, and we like to sample, we like to taste. So I've never been into wine for investment. Now, because of the nature of the beast and the fact I have been in this business so long, I am asked to do random tastings. I do a whole bunch of vertical tastings. If it has something to do with wine, somehow, some way, I have my little paws in it. In light of that, I am hosting a huge tasting early in 2012, and part of that tasting is going to be a 100-point tasting, and I have been collecting wines for it on and off for the past 14 months. Now, everyone who listens to the show also knows that we introduced Donna Estates Lotus on this show. It was one of the wines I recommended and definitely got a lot of feedback on it. For our collectors, by the way, the 08s are getting ready to be released, so be aware that Lotus and Helms are coming out. But of course, it's simply because I am this good. I had predicted what collectible wines they would be, and I told you that these are wines that Parker would flip out about, and sure enough, they gave Donna Estates Lotus Vineyards 100 points. Now, of course, because I am doing 100-point tasting, I had managed to secure myself 6 bottles of Donna Estates Lotus 2007 Cabernet. And I was proud of myself. I had swindled, moved budgets, done everything possible to make sure I had the wine ahead of time so I didn't have to scramble because I'm that organized. And once again, not having a cellar, I did have the wines, along with some other wines, all set aside in a very safe, secure camera area. Well, I learned today that someone has come in and taken my Donna Estates.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not funny. I mean,
I'm not laughing. No, I'm really not. I feel badly.
It really, really bothers me. Well, number one, I've already paid for the wine. But number two, I have the tasting coming up. But what I find fascinating is it was sitting there with some other amazing name brand wines. It was sitting there with Farniente. It was sitting with Heights. It was sitting with Gergich. It was sitting with Cru Clos d'Ambonnay. It was sitting with these amazing, powerful wines. And someone came through and selectively, not only did they just take the Donna, they took the time to unscrew the boxes, take the bottles out, and rescrew the boxes back together.
Oh, my gosh.
And if I hadn't been doing my spring cleaning and getting organized and all of a sudden picking up the box thinking, God, this is kind of light, I never would have known about it. So it just,
Whether, now, you had lifted the box before, though. You knew they were there when they came
in. I knew they were there when they came
in. They didn't just send you an empty box.
No, they didn't send me an empty box. The wines were there, and I have to admit, because I am that objective, and that's I look ahead, and I know there's problems, I had opened the boxes to make sure they were 07 Lotus, just to make sure something didn't get mispackaged or misconstrued. So just imagine my heartache today. That's the only thing that was taken. And it was done deliberately, it was done with malice, and it just shocks me.
And by somebody who wanted those bottles, those special bottles.
It was, those bottles in particular. Everything else was as expensive, if not more expensive than the Donna Estates, but yet it was those bottles they insisted on taking.
Can Laura Smales account for her whereabouts?
Yeah. But see, that's just it. Very, very few people, unless you're a true aficionado or listen to the show on a regular basis, maybe I ought to actually put an APB in our listeners, would know exactly what Donna is. All the other wines would have garnered so much more attention from someone just casually coming in. I really don't understand it. So I guess it goes back to, they say that there is no day wasted in which you learn something. I have learned something twofold. Number one, apparently the area where I store my wines is not near as secure as I thought it was. But number two, I can still get upset about little things, and I learned about myself that apparently I'm a little naive. I just assume that people in this echelon, and people, when you start talking about items of this nature, they have respect for them, but they won't take them. And I don't know where I got that idea. I'm sure a lot of you can call in and make fun of me right now that if it's not tied down, locked down, or burned down, that somebody's going to take it. But still, I'm floored.
It should bother you more that you have a thief amongst you.
Oh, I don't even want to go down that road right now. Yeah. I'm still focused on my Donna. I mean, that was mine. It's just it feels like a personal attack to me. I feel like I've been violated. And so it is one of the first days also. Let's see. I have learned, one, I'm not secure as I thought I was. Two, apparently I'm naive. But ultimately, number three, I've always thought wine can make your day. I always thought that 8 bottles of wine would make a great day. And I have now learned that 6 bottles of wine can absolutely ruin a day. And I didn't think that was possible. Huh. Who would think you could get this upset over 6 bottles of wine? So that's where I am. And so, of course, wherever I am, you are. So that's where the track we're going to kind of take today. 877-4-CRUSH-1. I want to hear your stories. I want to know that I am not entirely alone as being a victim of wine theft. I mean, granted, I shouldn't be this naive, but I am floored. I am shocked. I'm sure some of you restaurateurs out there that are listening can tell stories that'll make my hair stand on end. I want you to call in, or I want you to write in, and I want you to tell them to me so I'll feel better. Once again, Laura Lawson at winecrush.com or 877-4-CRUSH-1. So just give us a call. Let me know. Let me know what's going on with you.
I'll try to make you feel better.
Okay.
Okay. Think of things that could be worse. In other words, if your car had been stolen instead.
My car has been stolen twice in the past.
Oh.
Okay. I mean, that has happened. But I know, in the grand scheme of things, it's literally not even a drop in the barrel. I guess because I don't anticipate things like this, or I'm shocked that someone would do it. Do I know if I park my car in a risky part of town, am I taking a chance? Yes. Do I know that if I'm dumb enough to leave my purse open sitting on a bar stool that someone can take my wallet? Yes. Can I get pickpocketed? Can my house get robbed? Can all these other things happen? Yes. But I guess I don't expect this. You know, you can anticipate all many kind of problems. And God knows, like you said, it is not the worst thing that could happen. I guess just because it's staggeringly surprising to me that someone would do this.
Yeah.
So.
And especially since they would unscrew the lid from the box, take those bottles out, and put the lid back on to fool you. That tells you.
I know.
That they were stolen by a wine aficionado.
Oh, somebody. Yes. Somebody knew exactly what they were doing and realized that I probably wouldn't check it. And the only thing I can think of now, you want to talk about what could have been worse?
What?
Is showing up for the tasting with the empty boxes.
That's true.
Yes.
If you would open that box.
Yes. They're at the tasting. So I certainly have learned something. Anyway, enough of my woes, but I do expect all of you to call in and make me feel better. I mean it. Very, very sincerely. Even check us out on Facebook. Go to Wine Crush Radio and let me know your stories. Now, enough about me. Let's talk about some good things when it comes to wine, because I do have some interesting wine recommendations this week. I don't know if I have ever spoken about Martin Ray on air. I remember, this will give you a time frame for those of you who can do your math, probably one of the first wine books I ever picked up in my life as a wine person was a book called Vineyards in the Sky. It was written by Martin Ray, and it was the story of Martin Ray Vineyards and how Martin Ray had gone out. He was one of the very first people to ever make true varietals. He was one of the first ones to ever singularly bottle Chardonnay and call it Chardonnay. there's a great history here with Martin Ray. It was in the late 60s. He's doing varietals. And so because of that and because of the book, I really became fascinated by what was happening in the wine business. And I think he is the one that pretty much turned me on to wanting to know the story behind the story, that wine got interesting when you could put a personality and put people to it. Well, it's been a long time since I had Martin Ray. They used to do a Diamond Mountain Cab that I absolutely loved. But I happened to come across a bottle called Martin Ray Mariage Chardonnay the other day. And this wine, a blend that is absolutely outstanding. It's got great pear. It's got great apple. It has all the balance that you would expect out of a good Chardonnay, but yet it still manages to carry over some of the minerality. Now, what I find is interesting, I'm going to get on Laura Smales, is I definitely want to find someone from Martin Ray to get them on the show. Because Martin Ray, of course, is not the Martin Ray. There's an interesting story that Courtney Benham, in 1990, was walking through an old warehouse and basically found Martin Ray's old library, along with press clippings, a lot with everything about the winery, and reached out and decided that this would be a great brand for them to have. And so sure enough, that's exactly what we do. So we now have the Martin Ray brand that's back in the market and back around. So for those of you out looking for something different, look for Martin Ray Mariage Chardonnay. Absolutely great and good for this time of year, and it'll be something invigorating for you. And we'll take note. We'll see if we can't track them down, because this sounds like, once again, the story behind the story continues, and it'll be interesting. As far as reds, I figured I'd continue on the same path and talk about another legend in the business, Tony Soter. For those of you who remember, we had the winemaker from Etude on a while ago. And, of course, Tony Soter is the man who pretty much is behind Etude. He's the man who created the brand, you know, Etude being the story, or the study, rather, not the story. And, of course, that Carneros Pinot was outstanding. Well, Tony Soter went up into Oregon and started making wines up there that he felt were the true expression of Pinot Noir. He is doing something now called North Valley Pinot Noir. And this is the first time. Usually when we talk about Oregon, you don't see, you know, like in California, you have North Coast. Now in Oregon, he's doing something called North Valley Willamette Pinot Noir. This is one of the most complicated Pinots I've tasted in a good price point in a long time. It's got berry, it's got earth, it's got mineral, it has everything you could ask for. So if you're looking for something unique and different out of Oregon, look for Tony Soter's North Valley Willamette Pinot Noir. We're going to take a quick break right here, but when we return, we'll have your calls and your emails, and I promise to get more back on track and focused on the grape as it's supposed to be.
Check out winecrush.com for weekly wine recommendations, recipes, blogs, and news items.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited time offer. Give us a call at 1-800-655-0591, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free, get two free gifts, and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 1-800-655-0591. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Call 1-800-655-0591. 1-800-655-0591. 1-800-655-0591.
If your car is less than 10 years old and has less than 100,000 miles on it, your car will eventually break down and you'll need to go to your local repair shop. And we all know dealing with these guys can be very expensive. A new transmission can cost over $3,000, a new engine more than $3,500, new air conditioning can cost over $1,700, and a new water pump more than $600. You need to call the Auto Protection Network. We're like insurance to protect the inside of your car. We'll save you thousands on costly repair bills. Don't let your car break down without a warranty. Protect yourself from expensive repair bills. If your car has less than 100,000 miles on it and it's less than 10 years old, call today for a free customized quote. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking.
Hmm.
You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing, you're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Today we are off and rolling, talking about some unique legends in the wine business, and of course my own little experience with having wine stolen from me. But as always, this show is about you, and I do encourage you, call me 877-4-CRUSH-1 or email me, lauralawson@winecrush.com. Let me know your own theft stories. And even though I do encourage you to call in occasionally, I realize we haven't taken any calls from the wine line in a long time, as Kent was so happy to point out to me. So having done that, one of you was actually brave enough to call the wine line, and right now we're going to have them on the show. Apparently we have Terry, and Terry is from North Carolina. Terry, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Now, I've called several times before, and you've made some great answers. got one tonight on red wine. Is it still true that doctors recommend a glass of red wine a day that's good for your heart? And if so, what is a good moderately priced to medium priced red wine that I could look at? So thanks a lot for your help.
All right, Terry. Well, I don't know if Kent's just doing this to make me feel better, if he's trying to give me just a follow-up from last week's show. From those of you who listened last week, you heard me talk about the people that were up in arms about the red wine myth and the fact that the Aussies were trying to prove that ultimately it was about wine not really being good for you, and we were encouraging alcoholism. Well, we weren't the only people to take offense, apparently, about the article and about the study that was coming out down in Australia, because there has been a veritable landslide of new reports, new ideas, new factual findings about this ever since the Aussie thing came out. So, Terry, yes, it is true that red wine is still good for your heart. The polyphenols, the everything that's in it that is good for you, they still have not found a way to make it any way but red wine. They can go ahead and talk about the fact you can get it in a tablet, you can get it in a vitamin, you can get it from other vegetables. As of right now, there is no greater delivery service for all the good things in red wine than actually what they've begun to think it might be, the alcohol itself. Now, I'm sure this is going to cause uproar everywhere across the country saying, oh, no, alcohol can't be good for you. But what they're saying is it's a suspension vehicle and helps your body actually take it into your system. So, yes, red wine is still good for your heart. They're linking it to say it's good for Alzheimer's. They're saying it's good for breast cancer. They're saying it's good for just about anything. But the key is, Terry, it is in moderation. And I think just like we talk about anything in life, a little bit is good, a lot is bad. So key for moderation, I believe the standard is still 2 glasses of red wine a day for a man, 1 glass of red wine for a woman, and this is where you truly get the health benefits. Now, as far as something that is moderately priced, we have gone over this a couple of times, but it is true. Whether the wine comes in a pouch, whether it comes in a bag in a box, whether it comes in a bottle, whether it comes in a beautiful wooden 4-pack, beautiful 3-case, $250 bottle case of wine, it doesn't really matter. What matters is the fact that you are getting the red wine. So something if you want to do reasonably priced, if you just want to do this for health reasons and you're going to stick to your 2 glasses a night, there is a box wine called Botabox, B-O-T-A-B-O-X, and they come in 3 liters. And out of all the box wines I have tasted and dealt with lately, this one, I know that the packaging is all alike in all of this, but for some reason, this one seems to hold better than others. And if you wanted to, I'd get a 3-liter Botabox and stick it in your refrigerator, not on your counter, not anywhere else. The coolness does help it, and serve yourself that way. Another way you can do this, and this is, I got this from one of my local retailers. I was speaking with him, is for those of you who truly are using it for a medicinal value, for those of you who are trying to keep track of it, a lot of wineries are getting back into 187s. And what 187s are, it means 187 milliliters are single serves. And whether it's Sutter Home, it's Cavett, Gallo, Robert Mondavi, people are coming back into using these things, and they have these cute little plastic bottles. And those little 4-packs are a good way to do it. It's not near as value conscious as doing the box, but definitely it keeps it fresh, and you know that you have a fresh serve every time. So, Terry, I hope that helps. I hope that's the answer you were looking for. And it certainly is an interesting place to follow up, especially after last week. When you look at everything going on with the Aussies, you know, like Kent and I got in the debate about the tax value on it, the more I thought about it, yes, it is just another way of taxation. Hey, we're going to try and go ahead and tax you into better health. Maybe you could tax me better by being a little more patient. You never know. Hey, we're going to take a quick break right here, but when we return, we will have Michael Honig joining us, and we can check and see what's going on out on the West Coast and see what exciting things Honig is coming up for us now.
Heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a 1 million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 1-800-655-0591, because we're going to let 1 million people try Proactive risk-free, get 2 free gifts, and also receive free shipping when you call right now.
You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive, 2 free extras, and free shipping. Call 1-800-655-0591. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Call 1-800-655-0591. 1-800-655-0591. 1-800-655-0591.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1 million-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air, would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and Earthshare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Like I mentioned in the open, it's been nice talking to people who are new in the business and creating new brands, new wineries. But there's just something down-home and comforting talking to someone who is certainly a pro. Right now, we have that opportunity. We have Mr. Michael Honig. He is the president of Honig Vineyard and Winery joining us. Michael, are you with us?
I am, Laura. How are you doing today?
I am outstanding. Welcome back to The Crush. It's nice to have you back on the show.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be back.
Well, what we have done lately is we've had some, I don't want to say upstarts, because I like the new people that are creating wineries. I love that people are passionate. But it's just nice to have someone who has your breadth and experience back to talk about what's going on. So I've got to ask this question, because all of us, at least those of us who are tied to the business, we've had the Weather Channel on. We've been on weather.com. How are things going for you in Rutherford right now?
Well, I wish I could say they were going better in as it relates to our weather. We had beautiful weather the last couple of weeks, and then this last Saturday, early Sunday, a storm came in, dropping a good amount of rain. And today it's Tuesday; it's still drizzling. Now, that being said, it's supposed to warm up here later this week, and hopefully we'll get a few more weeks of warm weather and get our Cabernet right.
I hope so. We're keeping our fingers crossed, because I've talked to a couple of y'all out there today, and they're looking for tarps, they're looking for raincoats, they're looking for umbrellas, they're looking for fans, they're looking for vents, because I've heard up to 90% chance of rain tonight, so my fingers are crossed for you.
Yeah, all those things, we're just looking for warm weather. I can find an umbrella later. I just need the sun.
But that seems to be what everyone is talking about. In theory, are you truly harvesting late this year? It seems like every year we always have this debate.
Our Sauvignon Blanc, which we actually finished Saturday afternoon, was one day later than last year. Now, if you look at the last 10 years, it's been a little later. But if I go back to when I was a kid and we harvested in the 70s and early 80s, it was always about this time of year. So, again, I don't think it's that much different. If you just have to take a longer time frame. If you look at the last few years, it's a little later, but in the last 30 years, no, it's about average.
But see, that's why it's great for you to have the background and you have the experience. You have a lot of young kids out there running around panicking right now, but now you're just taking in stride because you can remember 30 years ago dealing with something like this.
Yeah, I'll be 50 here in a few months, and I took this over because of the family situation when I was 21. And I can remember being at that age, and every day was nerve-wracking. It was always something. And as you've gotten a little more experience and a little more knowledge and understanding of our industry and weather and farming, you realize jump up and down all you want, you can't really do a whole lot to change it. So you really, it's better off just dealing with it. And that's what we're doing right now. You know, we dealt with the storm as it related to the whites by getting everything in and pushing our crews to get everything finished by Saturday afternoon. And we had a couple long nights at the winery. So that's what we could do to protect ourselves with the whites. The reds were really at the weather's mercy at this point. So, you know, just hang on for the ride and enjoy it.
Hang out, lay back, and see what happens. It's really all you can do.
Yeah, pretty much. But you're right. If you're new to the business, every moment's a little more nerve-wracking. So,
is it fun to watch the newcomers, or do you actually still feel compassion for them?
I feel compassion for them, but I feel even at 30 years of doing this, I feel like a newcomer. I mean, I have the luxury of every day of my life going to work and being excited to start the day. So, I mean, I'm in a great position. I get enthused when I hear, and we have a young man right now who's a recent college grad. He's working as our assistant in the winery and helper for the harvest. And it's great talking to him. He's so enthusiastic, and he's got these great ideas. So you kind of feed off his enthusiasm, and hopefully, you know, with the newcomers, the old-timers, I guess if I'm an old-timer now, we get to impart some of our wisdom. So it's a sharing of ideas and interest, and certainly we all have a common goal of making great wine.
Well, at least that's what we're keeping our fingers crossed for. Hey, for our listeners who may not be fully familiar with you, will you give them a small background on Honig and, of course, on Michael Honig himself?
Sure. Well, it's a great story. My grandfather, Lewis, bought 70 acres here in Rutherford. So for those of you who have not visited Napa, as the name implies, it's truly a long, thin valley. Rutherford, our little neighborhood, is almost a geographic center of the valley. We're on the east side of the Napa River. We're surrounded by Quintessa and Camas and Frog's Leap. So we all share kind of a little geographic region here in Rutherford. We were growers up until 1980 when my family had decided to start making wine in memory of my grandfather, who had passed away a few years before that. And we decided at the time to specialize in Sauvignon Blanc. As I said a minute ago, I left college a few years after that and got involved in the mid-80s. And we, at that time, were just doing Sauvignon Blanc and then branched off into Cabernet. And today, now 30-plus years later, we've elected to stay focused on just those two varietals. So we only make Sauvignon Blanc and Cabernet Sauvignon from Rutherford and Napa Valley.
Those are obviously the two varietals. It seems like when you talk to anyone that's truly in Napa, those are the two that they focus on. That's the one they build their hats on. But go ahead and admit it. Tell me somewhere in that great facility of yours, there's not a barrel of something else hanging out in the corner.
You know, that's so funny because everyone always says, Michael, what do you have at the winery that you don't have in the market?
Come on, you know you got to have one little thing.
No, I'm not. You know, I learned there's a lot of wineries that have been great at making a lot of different items. I use an analogy of a shotgun versus the bullet, and more power to them. We use an analogy of a bullet. We do two things. That's it. There's no Chardonnay projects on the side. There's no second labels. There's no little critter wines running around. It's focused on these two items, and it's really made a huge difference. I mean, you and your guests see us at the end of the line in terms of the final product and what's on the shelves or on the wine list. So that's great because we get to focus on two things. But back yourself into what we do. So as a winery, we get to put all our energy into this. As a grape grower, we get to put all our energy in these two varietals. And when you only have one crack a year at making great wine, and you're dealing with 10 different items coming in from Merlot to Chardonnay to Pinot Noir to Sauvignon Blanc, it gets very complicated. So when we get to deal with Sauvignon Blanc and put all of our energy into that varietal for the first part of harvest, get that set and down into oak or tanks or wherever it's going to reside for a few months, and then move into Cabernet, that is amazing to be able to do that. So I'm sorry to blow your bubble there, but we don't have anything else at the winery other than these two varietals.
That's okay. It's nice to know that people are passionate and they stay true to their course.
Well, and that's the thing. I think I've seen so many wineries that started, and I won't mention it, but started making one varietal and now make three and now have different labels. And again, does the world need another Chardonnay from Napa Valley? I'm not so sure. So I'd rather be known as we specialize. We do two things. We do them really well. And not worry about other varietals or what's trendy or what's coming down the line, because again, that's not our model.
Well, I don't think there's anyone who is in wine and truly knows wine that has not at some point had your wine, your Sauvignon Blanc, your Cabernet at any given moment. Anyone who knows wine knows Honig. Here's a question to put this in perspective for people. How many total cases is Honig Winery?
We're about 50,000 cases.
Now,
go ahead.
Putting that, okay, 50,000 cases, all of a sudden people think, oh, my God, Honig's huge. No, it's not. 50,000 cases is not that many cases. How many barrels all told is that, roughly?
Well, a lot of our Sauvignon Blanc doesn't go into oak. Goes into a small barrel, some goes into oak uprights, and some goes into stainless steel tanks. So that's not the best measurement. I can say, though, we're kind of a large, small winery, or a small, medium-sized winery. 50,000 to 60,000 cases for Napa is about in the middle. But, again, we don't sell to big, giant grocery chains. We sell to pretty much independent retailers and independent restaurants. So, again, we're not trying to be all things to all people. We have a certain price point that doesn't necessarily fit at the giant box stores or doesn't fit by the glass in a lot of markets. But it is well just represented, and that's our goal, is to have it available for people and have it out there, but not have it over, you know,
overexposed in the right place at the right time.
Well, the right places, and again, we have no aspirations to be, I'll use Kendall Jackson because everyone knows that brand, and they've done an incredible job of creating a brand, but we don't need to be that large. We like our family business. My model, and I look at is, I'm the caretaker for my generation, which is the third generation. And my whole motivation in life is to get it to the next generation.
Which is the smart thing. Hey, Michael, on that note, speaking of next generation, can we hold off? Let's do a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk about the next generation.
Sure. Happy to.
All right, quick break here on The Crush. When we return, more of Michael Honig.
Visit winecrush.com for guest information, wine recommendations, and more. This is The Wine Crush.
Z-Max Micro Lubricant, the only engine and fuel system product that makes your car or truck engine perform better. Legendary car builder Carroll Shelby is sold on Z-Max.
There's no doubt that it's the only additive that really works.
Put Z-Max in your oil and gas and reduce internal friction and harmful deposits.
Z-Max is going to give it a longer life and improve the performance.
Z-Max, tested, trusted performance. Available at auto parts stores and at Z-Max.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway and you'll also receive free shipping.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited time offer. Give us a call at 1-800-655-0591 because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free, get two free gifts, and also receive free shipping when you call right now.
You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 1-800-655-0591. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Call 1-800-655-0591. 1-800-655-0591. 1-800-655-0591.
I'm Jim Cook, brewer of Samuel Adams. Why is Boston Lager loved by beer drinkers? Maybe it's the deep amber color, or the head so thick you could float a bottle cap, or maybe it's just a freaking good beer.
Yeah. Boston Beer Company, Boston, Mass. Safe and responsibly.
Hey, I'm downtown at a festival sampling the refreshing real iced tea taste of Twisted Tea hard iced tea.
Man, this tastes like real iced tea.
But Twisted Tea has a kick.
Twisted
Tea, the refreshing hard iced tea that tastes like real iced tea.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Twist responsibly.
Mozartosties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be. They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
This is the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Right now we are having a tell-all of Mr. Michael Honig going over what goes on at Honig Vineyards and how he runs the winery. Michael, are you still with us?
Yes.
Michael, I didn't mean to put you on the spot about the 50,000 cases. I was recently working with someone on a consultant project, and we were talking about different wineries, and we started talking about exactly what Honig is. What you are is your brand that has exceptional quality year in and year out. It is at the right places. It is the people set your Sauvignon Blanc as an example of what a Napa Valley Sauvignon Blanc should taste like. And as I'm talking to this guy, I'm saying, well, you know, it's only a 50,000 case winery. And he looked at me and said, well, I don't want anything that's overexposed. That is ridiculous. That is just entirely too many cases. And he's like, well, I'm thinking more, I want 2,500 case wineries. And I looked at him and I said, well, then you're not going to be able to do that anywhere across the board on a regular basis because you're just not going to have the wine. And it just amazes me what people have as a perception on what a big winery is and what a small winery is. So that's the only reason why I put you on the spot.
Oh, sure. Well, and unfortunately, most of these people are totally wrong, because if you look at any of the first growths, they are making, in most cases, a lot more than 2,500 cases. And so, and the same thing with a lot of great brands here in Napa. I mean, quality and quantity don't go hand in hand in my mind. And I'll give you a better example. Is we is a 50,000 case brand, which is not huge, but we certainly are larger than a lot of Napa producers. But that affords us the ability to buy the best grapes in the valley, to have the best talent making our wines, and to have the best equipment. And if you're really small, unless you're well capitalized from another venture, it's very difficult to buy the type of equipment that we can buy that make the better quality wine. So, again, I know there's always the issue, and people say, well, I don't want something that's not down the street. But the reason that we're 50,000 cases is because it's popular. And that's
exactly
the other side of it. So.
People don't get it. And those are the same people, especially working in the restaurants. You want to look at, well, everybody has that. I don't want it. You want to look at them and say, so you're not going to have any kind of beef on your menu then? You're not going to have a filet?
I was just laughing about that. Someone earlier said, like, if people want to order French fries, you're going to say, no, they can't have French fries. And again, I understand people don't want to have things that necessarily, if whatever the quote unquote, overexposed. But you also need things, certainly restaurants today, that are going to sell through. And when you have so many inventory dollars and you turn those inventory dollars, I don't think it's appropriate to tell your guest, oh, I'm sorry, that's too popular. We don't want to carry it.
But, yes, you're basically calling them cattle at that point. That really doesn't go over well.
Yeah. So, but again, that being said, we're proud of where we are. We think it's a great size, and again, we don't feel we're large, but we feel we're we have a well chosen model that works great for us.
I personally think you're exactly where you need to be. Now, before we took a quick break, we were talking. You had mentioned that you're a caretaker for the next generation.
Right.
What is, as you are taking stewardship of Honig, what is your plan for the next generation? Are you looking forward to them taking it over? Are you looking forward to them having your same philosophy? Or what kind of interesting twist are you looking at them putting on exactly what Honig will be doing 12 years from now?
Well, I hope that they... the goal is to give it to them. I mean, they're all relatively young at this point, my kids and nephews and nieces. I hope that we instill the values that our family find important, philanthropic endeavors, civic-mindedness, caring about our environment and doing things right by our environment and what we have and what we're proud of is our land. But that being said, and also, I guess, staying true to the model, I think if you look to the French, and I don't necessarily want to emulate them in a lot of different ways, but if you look to what they've done in the wine world, if you're in Bordeaux, you don't grow Chardonnay. You grow what works in your neighborhood, and you grow what grows in that area. And I think I would hope that they would stay true to that model and focus on the two varietals that we've become, successful making. That being said, though, I hope they come up with their own ideas. You know, I'll be tired. I'm over this. You know, I need to rest. You don't want to. I think I see, and I know you probably see this as too. Sometimes brands and the people that run them, it's almost like they become Luddites. It's like, well, we've done it 100 years this way, we're not going to change. And my philosophy is, we've done certain things for a long, long time, but that doesn't mean we can't look at new techniques and new ideas and incorporate it into making our brand even better. So I hope that they will take whatever we've done as our legacy and build upon it and make it even better for the fifth generation.
Yeah, some change is always good. I think someone asked me that question the other day. If I died tomorrow, 50 years from now, if I could come back and look at where the wine media was and what was going on in wine media and how it was being communicated and how people were getting educated about wine, what would I say or what would I see that would make me most proud? And I think the most proud thing would be that everybody had an opinion. Well, of course, everybody has an opinion, but everyone would be comfortable speaking up and saying, hey, here's what I think about Michael Honig's Sauvignon Blanc, or here's what I think. I don't care if 50,000 cases are out here. I think this is exceptional, and let everyone have their moment and feel comfortable doing it. In light of that, 50 years from now, if you could look back and see what that generation is doing, what is the one thing they'd be doing that would make you most proud?
That, unlike previous generations, they maybe took what we have in terms of our land and our environment and aren't even talking about it because it's just been ingrained in their culture that everything's green or everything's sustainable. Everything's based on making sure that we have a place to live going forward.
Outstanding.
And I don't, you know, I don't want to get off on the topic because sometimes people think this becomes a political issue, as I was accused by being sounding like Al Gore the other day. But again, whether you care about the polar bears or you want to drive an Escalade, it's really not the point necessarily. We're trying to leave a small footprint. So whether you care about those things or not, the other side of it is farmers, it's all about quality. And I believe a lot of things we do in the vineyard and the winery allow us to have a better quality product, which keeps us in business. But the underlying thing is without what we have, which is the soil we walk on, we're all in trouble.
Wouldn't that be nice to just assume it would all be stewarded well?
I hope so. I mean, I was talking to someone the other day, and I said this. They said, well, Michael, what do you want for sustainability in 5 or 10 years? And I said that we're not talking about it anymore. That it's just, it's like, what do you mean you don't do it that way? That's just obvious. Everyone does it that way. That's just how the thing you do it. So
that's how it's supposed to be done.
That's supposed to be done.
For our listeners, what is the best place for them to find out more about Honig or more or buy your wines? Or is there a certain website you'd like them to go to?
Yeah, they love to. We have a wonderful website that we always encourage people to visit. It's Honig Wine. It's HONIGWINE.com. And if they'd like to call us or come to visit Rutherford or Napa, they can always call 800-929-2217.
You're just making that up, aren't you? You're just randomly pulling numbers out of the air. Come on, admit it, Michael.
I know. Okay. Look, I don't know many numbers. I can't remember my birthday or my wife's anniversary or my anniversary, I guess I should say. But I can't remember our 800 number after so many years. So.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being part of the Crush today. As always, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. And certainly we will touch back with you and see how the great harvest went.
Great. Thanks, Laura. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Hey, quick break here on The Crush. When we return, we'll wrap this show up and talk about upcoming exciting things here on The Crush.
Follow host Laura Lawson on Twitter at Wine Crush Radio. This is The Wine Crush.
Designer and car builder Carol Shelby knows cars.
I have a passion for cars.
Carol Shelby recommends Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This stuff really works. It penetrates the metal.
Add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It cleans internal components, delivers a cleaner fuel system, extends engine life, and improves engine performance.
Z-Max is going to give it a longer life and improve the performance.
Z-Max, available at auto parts stores and at zmax.com.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 1-800-655-0591, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free, get 2 free gifts, and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv, 2 free extras, and free shipping. Call 1-800-655-0591. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Call 1-800-655-0591. 1-800-655-0591. 1-800-655-0591.
I'm Jim Cook, brewer of Samuel Adams. Why is Boston Lager loved by beer drinkers? Maybe it's the deep amber color, or the head so thick you could float a bottle cap, or maybe it's just a freaking good beer.
Yeah. Boston Beer Company, Boston, Mass. Safer responsibly.
Hey, I'm downtown at a festival sampling the refreshing real iced tea taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea.
Man, this tastes like real iced tea.
But Twisted Tea has a kick.
Twisted Tea,
the refreshing hard iced tea that tastes like real iced tea.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Twist responsibly.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly.
inventor of the karate glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The karate glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood.
Hi-hi!
Concrete.
Hi-yah!
Brick walls.
Hi-yah!
Trees.
Hi-yah!
Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-yah time!
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. I certainly am not making any commentary about our previous guests who are new in the wine business. Enjoyed Kelly and enjoyed talking with people who are just starting. But there is always something fundamentally just refreshing about talking to someone who's been in the wine business for a long time. So thank you, Michael Honig, for being on the show. It's great, I guess, whether it comes with experience or just doing PR or being yourself in the vineyards. It seems like the people who've been in the wine business for a long time already know what their foilables are and are happy to address it. That or they just get to the point where they're like me, is don't really care what someone else has to think about them and just going to tell it like it is. And so that is something I enjoy, and I'm sure that it's something our listeners enjoy as well. Well, we do like to make the show all about you. We do want your phone calls. We do want your emails. And I wasn't kidding in the opening. I want you to make me feel better. Give me stories about what's happened to you in the wine business, where your wine has disappeared to, or give me something that'll make me feel better about my Donna theft. 877-4CRUSH-1 or email me at lauralawson@winecrush.com. At least let me know that I'm not standing there by myself. This was interesting. Kent sent this to me real quick, and this is how we're going to wrap up the show today. But I have this great email. It's from appearing to be Dennis Tesorbis, and I know I just butchered your last name in New Hampshire. Laura, this complaint might ring a bell. First, they came for my cigarettes, and no one seemed to care. Then they came for my sodas, and only the kids were upset. Then they came for my bacon and McDonald's burgers and fries. Now my wine is under their tax mentality. Water and air are next. Yes, I certainly agree. It seems like if it's something we enjoy, they're going to get it one way or the other. Thanks for writing in. Here at The Crush, as always, we are reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told. But most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there's truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.